things work together for good to them that love God, to them the called according to His purpose. The called. And again, we're using the alphabet to show us what the called are, as far as their actions, as far as their situation in this world and in the world to come. And we're to the letter V tonight. V for victory. As we were singing Victory in Jesus this morning, I thought just how fitting it is. And then faith is the victory as well. What a good send-off, I would say, for what we want to say this evening. So we come to the word victory. The church has always been at war with the world. You as a believer are at war with the world, the flesh, and the devil. You are warring on three fronts. And most of the time we don't recognize that, but we are. As believers in Christ, you are in a battle 24 hours a day. Amen. Satan wants your mind. If he can get your mind, then he can fool you and dupe you into doing a lot of things you shouldn't be doing. Satan wants your soul. If the Lord has saved it, he cannot get it. But he'll make your life miserable in this world if you let him. If you let him. And there may be times that God just kind of lets him play with you for a while in order to mature you and let you grow. That happens to us along the way. So you're at war. You may as well just recognize the fact, why would Paul tell us to put on the whole armor of God if we're not at war? You are at war. Now, to think of that and to get that in mind, we look back at Israel as a picture. Remember, if there's anything in the New Testament that is doctrinal, there is a picture of it in the Old Testament.
Yes, sir.
What about Israel? Israel's wars, constantly at war. And when I think of the victories that God gave Israel, boy, I'll tell you, I can rejoice and shout the house down knowing that, hey, that's a picture of what God's doing for us.
Amen. Yes.
Now, we in my lifetime have lived in relative peace as far as the church is concerned. I wouldn't bet another lifetime that that'd be so if Jesus doesn't come. Because there are factions at work tonight to put us out of business,
yes,
to shut us down, and to keep us from preaching the gospel.
Yes, sir.
It's not going to be as easy in the days to come as it has been in days gone by. And we're going to find out that a lot of those who would sit in the pews and holler amen will no longer be there, because it means that they're going to have to push the wagon uphill. And that just is not going to happen where they're concerned. A lot of preachers will shut it down and leave it because they will not fight the fight.
Right.
Already across this country, governors have shut down churches. Can I tell you that they have no authority to do so?
Right.
None whatsoever. Amen. Thank God for the preachers who have stood up and not closed the doors of their church and have continued to preach the gospel in spite of the Wuhan virus.
Right.
And stupid governors.
Yes.
Hello.
Yes.
And leadership across this nation that has no real unction as far as God is concerned.
You're right.
We may be returning to some of those days of persecution that we read about. The church has always been in a battle from the beginning.
Yes, sir.
Remember, they slew the apostles, did they not?
Yes.
They killed the Lord Jesus, did they not, as far as the natural sense is concerned, and thought they had us all put out of business. But guess what? Victory. Hallelujah. Sunday morning brought victory. Before the sun rose, the sun had already risen. Thank God. We're looking forward to that, to celebrate that in the next few weeks. But the victory always comes. Just put that down. God will always give us the victory. You've heard it time and time again. Matthew 16, 18. We'll talk about that twice tonight. But Jesus said to Simon Peter, after Simon Peter declared that he was the Son of God, that Christ and Christ alone was the Son of God, our Lord said, "And upon this rock, upon this testimony, I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it." Did you hear that?
Yes.
Glory. You can go ahead and blow the trumpet, sweetheart. We are already victorious. We're not going to come to the victory out there. We are already victorious.
Yes.
The promise is sure. Jesus Christ will not allow the church to be overrun by the world.
Yes.
Thank the Lord that that's so.
Yes, sir.
So the pictures are there. Abraham with 138 men overcame four kings and their armies, and delivered his nephew and the citizenry of Sodom, Gomorrah, and the other cities of the plain. Now this, of course, was before Genesis 19 when God destroys it. But Abraham, with just a few men, destroyed the armies and came back with the booty. Hallelujah. And who could forget Moses and all of the victories that God gave him as they traveled from Egypt? But wait a minute. What a great victory it was in Egypt.
Yes.
What a victory God gave Israel down there in Egypt.
Yes, sir.
God literally destroyed, slapped the face of every pagan god Egypt ever knew anything about, and brought his children out of there, and then destroyed Pharaoh and his army in the sea. What a victory. And the children of Israel sang a song, rejoicing in the victory that God had given, and how God had drowned Pharaoh's army in the sea. They were rejoicing. Now that's a picture of you and I rejoicing after a battle that we've had to go through. I don't know about you, but I'm to the point that nowadays I begin to look for the answer. I begin to look at how God's working this thing out. I like to find the little intricate details of how God's fixing things because I know He's going to. I'm going to start saving up my shaft, so I can shout when the time comes. Hallelujah. I know it's going to happen. God shall bring the victory. We are not defeated. Thank God we are not defeated. Joshua, what a warrior he was. And all of the victories that God gave Joshua and gave him the promised land. And they begin to inhabit the promise that God had made to Abraham. Now, wait a minute. Think about that. God made that promise to Abraham. That was a long time ago. And now Joshua brings the children of Israel across the Jordan River, and they begin to settle the land and to run the people out that were there. And those that they wouldn't run out, God took care of them with hornets. I don't know too many people to stand around and wait on a bunch of hornets to come. And they loaded up and left town, buddy. Because they heard God was sending the hornets and they left town. Now listen to me carefully. The victories came. The war was there, but the victories came. And God's children rejoiced in the victories. Listen, when God gives you a victory, rejoice in that victory.
Yes.
Shout because God has done what He said He was going to do. God brought victory after victory. Who could forget David overcoming Goliath? What a giant he was. And here's a little boy, really. Just a teenage boy. And God sent him in there to slay Goliath, lay him on the ground, cut his head off, and rejoice. Can you imagine what Israel's army did when Goliath fell? Do you think they said, boy, that was quite a crash? No. They began to shout. And took off after the Philistines. And the Philistines saw him coming and saw that their champion had fallen with a boy. Wonder what was going through their mind. We better get out of town. God gave the victory. God's in the business of giving the victory. God delivered Judah in Hezekiah's reign overnight. Killed 185,000 soldiers of the Assyrians one night. God did that. How about that? You call that a victory? I call that victory. Thank the Lord. There's the pictures of the victory. Now I want to show you the promise of the victory, if I may. In Matthew chapter 16, here we are again. Jesus again, remembering, He said to Simon Peter and to the disciples, upon this rock, I will build my church. Now, thank God He's doing it. But here's the important thing. And the gates of hell shall not prevail against it.
Right.
Are you listening? Yes. Hell is not going to prevail.
Right.
Now, listen, we're not even talking about a general on the field. We're not talking about some scout that's been out there to tell us, hey, there's not many of us out there. We can go over and destroy them. We're not dealing with that. We're dealing with the sovereign of the universe saying that hell is not going to overcome the church of the living God. Now, that is a fact. You can put it down in spite of the battles we face, and in spite of the history that we've seen in the church.
Yes.
Jesus said hell is not going to win. Hell is not going to overcome the church of the living God. And I don't know about you, but if I could breathe just a little bit better, I'd be jumping and shouting right now and rejoicing in the fact that I know Jesus said it, and I know it's going to happen the way He said it was going to happen.
Yes.
Now, we've faced a lot of persecution through the years. I want to say this, and I'm not here to offend anybody tonight. I'm just going to say this because it's fact. And if you need to check it, you can check it. But Baptists have never been a part of the Protestant movement. Look here, I am a Protestant. I am a protestor. Do you understand that? Look at me. I am a protestor. I do not believe in the papal church. I protest against the papal church. Everything they do and everything they put their fingers to, I protest it. Because it's ungodly. Nothing of God is involved in the papal church. And I'm sorry if that offends you, but go kiss your mama and get over it. The truth is that the papal church has done everything it could down through the ages to destroy the Baptist church. Now, we didn't start coming out of the so-called mother church. We were there before the mother church. There's always been a line right on back to the Lord Jesus Christ of believers who baptized believers, adult who knew what they were doing, believers. Those who started baptizing babies didn't know what they were doing. They missed the book 1,000 miles. Babies being baptized means nothing. Absolutely. Maybe they got a little water on their head, but that's all it means. Mama will wipe it off in a minute and they'll be fine. That's all it means. Baby baptism will never save the first child. Never will, never could. And God Almighty knows that it's nothing but a lie out of hell to deceive multitudes in the world, past, present, and future. So here's the matter. The Baptist Church goes all the way back to the Lord Jesus Christ. We were called a multitude of things through those years. Anabaptist stuck for the longest time, and then the Anna was dropped, and we just became Baptist. Anabaptist means that we do not believe in baptizing babies. That's what the word Anabaptist meant. We were against baptizing babies. And for that, and for believing in salvation by grace, multitudes of our brethren, past forefathers in the faith, gave their life brutally due to church movements.
Yes,
governments that were controlled by churches. Destroying believers in the Lord Jesus Christ. Someday when you have some time, you need to get Fox's Book of Martyrs. If you've never read Fox's Book of Martyrs, you are uneducated. Did you hear that? You need to read Fox's Book of Martyrs. And this I pulled from my library this afternoon. The Baptist Heritage, written by J.W. Holliday. You need to pick that up if you can. I doubt that it's in print. You'd have to go to a bookstore that has used books probably to find it. It was printed by Baggard Press in Texarkana, Texas, back in sometime. I don't see when it was, yeah, right here it is, 1974. This is a compilation of the problems and trials that Baptists went through the years. Now, when we left the motherland and came to the United States of America, the persecution didn't stop. Because along with us came others who had left the papal church. And one of the greatest persecutors of the Baptist faith in America was the Presbyterian Church. You don't hear that, do you? But the Presbyterians killed, flogged, beat, starved to death, burned, drowned, cut the clothes off a Baptist, and turned them loose into the wilderness in the wintertime to freeze to death and starve to death. I'm talking about in America. And this went on until 1776, and even sometime after that. But for the most part, it ended in 1776. Presbyterians would move into a place where Baptists were and cause the Baptists to pay for their churches being built and for their preachers to be set up. They stole the farms, stole the goods, stole the money, ran the people out that were Baptists. Now, you don't hear that, do you?
No.
You don't find that on the Presbyterian walls. Believe me, you don't. But that's true. The major part of this took place in Pennsylvania and Virginia. Baptist. Because we would not baptize babies, and because we believed in salvation by grace through faith, plus nothing, minus nothing, our forefathers died. But look here. Even though I am sure that the numbers are not so as far as salvation is concerned, but the greatest denomination in the United States of America are Baptist. We have survived. All of that, we have survived. Are you listening to me? We have survived because Jesus said, the gates of hell shall not prevail. And they're not going to prevail. It shan't happen. Those were sad days. Sad days. Do you realize that the mode of government that we live under today was first in the Baptist Church? And the early fathers, Madison, even Washington, they visited Baptist churches and saw how the Baptist churches did their polity and decided this is the way government ought to run. How about that? The first time they were ever introduced to a democracy was in Baptist churches. And here we are tonight. Hey, sure there are empty chairs here tonight, but hey, hear me, we're still alive. There's still a few of us that believe in salvation by grace. There's still a few of us that believe what the book says. And we'll hold to that until we get to glory, and then we'll hold to the whole thing that we didn't even know anything about till we get there. God's youngins don't have to worry about whether or not it's going to be all right. We were boys. We'd be out working or playing, mostly playing for the most part. We even played when we worked. And more than one time, I'd wonder, is Mama ever going to get supper? Is Mama ever going to get supper ready? And we'd be working. Sometimes we'd work right on the dark. Mama'd never holler. But she'd walk out there. And she'd say, come on, boys! Supper's ready! Are you with me? Hey, it may look like darkness is going to take over. And it may look like Jesus is not going to show up. It may look like the supper's not going to ever get ready, but one of these mornings the horn's going to blow, thank God, and God's little young'uns are going to step out of here. We're going home to supper. And we're going home to supper because the book said we are. The promise is sure. Just as sure as God is, the promise is sure. Some of those dear old saints of God. I remember the disciples were slain, but the disciples of the disciples were slain as well. Ignatius, Polycarp, many of those names you don't even know, but these wrote much about the days after the disciples were slain. Yes. And were converted. The two I mentioned especially, and many others converted under the preaching of John. Yeah. They carried on the truth of the gospel of grace right on down to where we are tonight. Aren't you glad? Aren't you glad that God saved you by grace?
Huh?
Now listen to me. You may not necessarily be a Baptist, but if you know that God saved you by grace through faith, plus nothing, minus nothing, are you listening?
Yes.
Then you are a Baptist. That's what we believe. No one else believes that. Check it out. Check out their policies and check out their their covenants and so on. I promise you, none of them will declare that salvation is by grace alone, through faith alone, by God alone. It's always something to do with man getting his hands in it. What I've got to do, what I've got to do. Listen, if you depend on yourself, I promise you, you'll be in hell in spite of how many grannies pray. You can't depend on you to get you to glory. If you're not dependent on the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ to cleanse you from your sin, if you haven't been to the foot of the cross to declare your faith in Jesus Christ alone, then I promise you, you're not going to heaven. I don't care how many churches you belong to. Now, that's just God's way. And that's the reason we've been in trouble down through the years, because we've said that and we believe that, and we believe it so much so that we declare it to be so.
Right.
I'm not interested in the arguments here. I've been through all the arguments. I mean, I've stood before people that thought they knew what they were talking about. And they wound up to be without any hope whatsoever. Listen, this book's right.
Yeah.
I may not be right, but the book is.
Yes, sir.
You may not be right, but if you believe this book, it'll always be right.
Right.
You've made some mistakes. I've made some mistakes. We failed the Lord along the way, but He's never failed us.
Right.
One of the great martyrs. Matter of fact, it was Polycarp that was being sent to his death. And they said, if you'll just recant. He said, how can I do that? How can I do that? When one who has never failed me all of my lifetime, when one has never one time failed me, how can I fail him now? Now that's the kind of forefathers we have. Hallelujah.
Yes, sir.
And that's the kind of backbone we ought to have.
Right.
And it's the kind of backbone we're going to have to instill in the generation to come, because it's not going to be long, friend, till it's not going to be as easy as it is this tonight.
Right.
You don't know what they're using this Chinese Wuhan virus to do to the church. Hello?
Yeah.
And a lot of them are succumbing thereto and shutting down.
Right.
Don't you think for a minute that the devil's not in this thing. Let me tell you something. This is a demonic virus. Did you hear that? A demonic virus. I want to say that one more time. This is a demonic virus. It's not just a virus. It is a demonic virus. And I think I can say this with an educated heart and an educated mind. It came from demons. Hello. And the world is going to suffer much from it. My wife has showed me something last night where Israel, now listen to this, this is something you need to hear, where Israel is going to require passports now with the people who have taken the shot. Are you listening? And if they do not have that passport, they can't go into a store and buy groceries. Hello? They can't mingle with other people. Are you getting the picture here?
Amen. Yeah.
Did you remember me saying this is a demonic virus?
Yeah.
Do you remember that?
Yeah.
They're calling what a green passport. A green passport. Listen, if you can't see the devil in that, what? Hey, and it's Israel that's first on the line with it. Hello? Do you know anything about your Bible? What does it declare? Without that number, they can neither buy nor sell. We're closer than we think. And hey, let me just tell you something. Little secret. You don't have to share it with everybody. This is a secret. The USA is already planning the same thing. I've already heard from it. Already planning the same thing. Hello? You're closer than you think. We'll come back to this next week. I've gone about as far as I can go on one lung. But we'll be back by the grace of God next week. You remember, we are victorious. We are victorious. Thank God. We are victorious. Listen, when God's people were dying, they weren't weeping and crying. They were shouting and rejoicing because in just a moment they'd be home. It won't be long till we'll be home. God, give us that kind of faith again. The kind of faith that looks the devil in the face and says, you're not the winner. You're not the winner. Father, thank you for the promise of the victory. Oh God, thank you for letting us feel it in our hearts. Thank you for assuring us in our minds that it's so. Thank you for the faith that establishes it in our very